It's good to be back in town. It's good to be back in the country. Having been in Quebec, working with Jean Grenier, our missionary up there that we support, and doing the work up there, it was a really good week. I want to tell you, the first day we started working on the back side of the building, and we needed to pull off some material back there. And so we're up on the roof, and Ted and I are up there, and I'm hanging on, and he's hanging on, and we're doing work. And next thing I know, he hollers out, and a bee stings him on the arm. And so, you know, we pause for a minute, and Ted's toughing it out, you know, and fighting through it. He's not allergic to bee stings. And so we continue on. Next thing you know, the bee's buzzing around. And so we're hanging on, and all we have to swat this bee with is my hat. And so Ted's watching it. He's my pointer. And I'm swatting this bee. And I'm swatting and I'm swatting. And I beat the fire out of the side of that building with my hat. Never did kill the bee. Did not fall off the roof. And so if for all of those who prayed for our safety, thank you. Thank you. Your prayers were answered. For those that prayed that God would do great things while we were there, those prayers were answered too. And in a week or two, I will give a report on the latest there in Canada and what happened this week. And so it was a really good week. Just continue to pray for the work there. I want to share a poem with you this morning. It's titled, Disturb Us, Lord. And it reads like this. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrived safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas, where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. This we ask in the name of our captain, who is Jesus Christ. This poem is attributed to Sir Francis Drake in 1577. He was a sailor for England, discovered a number of, went on ventures by sailing around the world. 1577, it's believed that he wrote this poem. It's a unique thought. We tend to say, don't disturb us. When we pray, we tend to pray, God bless us, help us. And those are good prayers. Those are appropriate prayers. There's nothing wrong with those. There's nothing to belittle about prayers that say, God help us. It's a whole different thought to say, God disturb us, when we are too well pleased with ourselves. You think about what's going on here in our congregation. God has really blessed us. We have three great godly men that oversee us, that shepherd our souls. We have two ministers here that there's a reason Keith and I have been here so long. There's a reason he came back. And it's our great relationship. It's you. That's why we want to be here. And we're blessed by you. We have six great men that serve as deacons. We have Janet, our secretary, who's been here for years. There's a reason there's so much stability. Financially, as a church, we're in good shape. We have a website that's being used more and more. We broadcast live on the internet our worship services. We have a lot to be thankful for, a lot that God's blessed us with. We have a Monday Night for the Master a ministry that we serve others. We have VBS that's top-notch that we do every year that's coming up. Sunday school, Bible hour, youth program. We have one of the best youth ministers around. We have a good youth room. We have two fine buses. We have good worship. We follow Scripture. We are growing. We have parking problems. We have seating problems. If you've ever visited a church and you were a group of four or five and you couldn't find a place for you to all sit in the auditorium, that's not a great first impression. And if you didn't notice this morning, we have towels on a couple pews. We just wanted to make space and help those who might come to visit us to be able to have a place to sit. We have seating problems. We have parking problems. They're really not problems. They're wonderful, wonderful things. We have a lot to be thankful for. We are growing. In 5.5 years, we've almost doubled. It would be easy for us to be pleased with ourselves. It would be easy for us to be too pleased with ourselves. I mean, how big do we dream? What do we reach for? Disturb us, Lord. In 1999, I came here as a youth minister, and I remember one of the first youth minister lunches that we went to. I really didn't know the other youth ministers, but I go to these lunches, and it was either the first one or the second one. There was a youth ministers there, and then there was a I assumed an intern, a young man. His hair was bleached. He was distinctly different than the rest of us in his appearance. So we start out this meeting because we brought our food to eat lunch, and he leads the prayer. I find out later it's Craig Hicks, who was the youth minister at Memorial at the time. And some of you know Craig. Craig starts this prayer, and he says, "God, humble us." And he prays for a little bit, and he says, "God, wake us up." He prays for a little bit. He says, "God, tear us down." I'm almost opening my eyes, looking around, thinking, what is he doing? I mean, we don't pray prayers like this. We pray, the standard prayer at a setting like that is, "God, thank you. You're so good to us. Such an honor to serve your people. Help us, strengthen us, give us wisdom. Give, right? Give, bless, bless, bless." This guy says, "God," essentially he says, "God, disturb us." I didn't know what to think. I knew at the end of the prayer, that man is a godly man. I knew that. I mean, I don't know all the ins and outs of Craig's life. I know he's a good man. And I know from that prayer, he is a wise man. It takes wisdom to pray a prayer like that. Can you pray the prayer, "God, disturb me"? "God, humble me if I need it. God, disturb me when I need it. God, wake me up when I need it. God, if what I need right now is trouble, if that's what I need, bring it." Can you pray that? That's not an easy prayer to pray. When we dream too little, I love this passage in Numbers. It's where Moses, he's trying to deal with the nation of Israel. They've come out of Egypt. There's 600,000 men. There may have been 2 million people. You try to imagine how many people that is. Imagine Tulsa, Oklahoma City, surrounding areas, plus some, just 2 million people. How big is a city of 2 million? And the people are grumbling. They want meat. And God says, "I'll give them meat for a month." And Moses says, "God, there's not enough fish in the sea." Moses says to God, "God, you can't do that." In verse 23, the Lord answered Moses, "Is the Lord's arm too short?" And of course, God does feed them. Being in Canada this week, one of the things I said to the congregation there in the sermon, this is it's not the clearest picture, but this is a picture from last night where the building is at this point. And I said to the congregation there, I don't know many preachers 10 years ago, if they were in Jean Grenier's position, because this was an old barn that had been converted into an auto repair shop. I don't know many ministers who would have said, we can do this. It was too big of a dream. It was too big of a goal. It was too big. What do we do when we've dreamed too little? Our spiritual dreams should reflect the size of our God. Should they not? Whatever we dream for our own life spiritually, whatever we dream for this congregation spiritually, it should reflect the size of our God. We should dream big. We should pray big. Look at Psalm 119. What if we've lost our thirst? Psalm 119. It talks about the love for God's Word. And it says, "Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands." That verse 131 is something to think about. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from the oppression of men that I may obey your precepts. Redeem me. Rescue me so I can obey you. That's a thought, isn't it? We would all, if we needed rescuing, we would all cry out, "God, rescue me." But would we cry out, "Rescue me, God, so I can obey you"? Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. Are we thirsty for God's Word? This year, our theme is about God's Word, a priceless journey, the living power of God's Word. And one of our goals, goals for this year is to read through the Bible. And many of you have accepted the challenge and have been reading through Scripture. We have reading schedules at the Welcome Center that will guide you to read through the New Testament in a year. We have other schedules will guide you to read through the whole Bible in a year. Your leadership is reading through the Bible this year. Elders, ministers, deacons. If you're behind in your reading, you're not the only one. I know that. If you have fallen behind and become discouraged and stopped your daily reading or your goal to read through Scripture, I know you're not the only one. And so I want to call you back to this. And two things. One, just read it. If you're behind on the schedule, don't get discouraged. Just keep reading. What if it takes you 2 years to read through this book? So number one, just keep reading. Don't let Satan get in your head and say, "You know what, you're so far behind, you're not going to reach your goal, so just quit." Don't quit. Get back to reading. Number two, do you realize if you've been reading some and you've fallen behind, that if you read 5 chapters a day, you can do that inside 30 minutes. 5 chapters a day, do you realize you can finish through Scripture this year? 5 chapters a day. The average American watches 5 hours of TV a day. Do you realize if you give God 30 minutes or less, you can read through this thing by the end of the year? If you read 2 chapters a day in the New Testament, you could start at Matthew tonight, read 2 chapters a day, and get through the New Testament by the end of the year. We need to thirst for God's Word. We need to thirst more for God's Word. There's one of our members that said to me repeatedly, they've been reading for the first time through Scripture. This person is ahead in their reading. And what they say to me is, "I can't put it down. I can't quit. It has changed their life. They love it. They cannot get enough of it." That's the power of God's Word. What if we've fallen in love with life in our efforts to build a new earth? Jesus, or Scripture, reminds us, John writes in 1 John, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. It's not saying don't enjoy life and don't enjoy being a human being. Don't enjoy the 4th of July. It's not saying that. It's saying don't fall in love with things here so that we become so distracted we lose focus of our true goal and our true identity. How much do we love life? When Steve Worley was here from Nigeria, from the School of Joss, he made a statement. Some of you remember that. He said he came at one time in the past with one of the students from Nigeria, and the student experienced some sightseeing in America, experienced our culture, and this African student said, "You Americans have no place to go when you die." Remember him saying that? You have no place to go when you die. And what he meant was, here in America, you have so much. What is there to look forward to? There is so much here to enjoy about life. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. I think it is a major struggle of ours. It may be part of why Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to go to heaven than a camel through the eye of a needle. Do we long for heaven? Have we focused too much on building heaven here? Have we allowed our visions of a new heaven or of the new heaven to dim? Philippians talks about was where Paul says, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on." He says, "I press on." He says it twice. And in verse 14, he says, "Toward the goal to win the prize." What is our goal? What is our goal in life? What is our primary goal? Are we dreaming of heaven enough? For most people in our society, this is what they live by: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'm not saying that's wrong as a slogan. I'm not saying that there's something inherently wrong in it. But I will say this. Instead of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, this is what we Christians live by: godliness, God's will, and the pursuit of heaven. Amen. That's what we live by. If you chase happiness on this earth, you'll never find it. Ask Solomon. If we chase happiness like the rest of the world, we'll never find it. God didn't call us to chase our own happiness. He called us to chase Him. And we have to chase Him. Heaven is our goal. We need to dream of heaven more. And I will admit, I'm just like you. I'm an American. We may have different incomes and different things we're able to enjoy, but we all have a lot. We have a lot. We have a lot to distract us. We have a lot to dream about. Is there anything on earth that you don't have yet that you dream about? Probably. I need to dream about heaven more. Disturb us to dare more boldly to find the stars. How big does God want us to dream? God talks about the church being a mustard seed and growing so greatly. He talks about going to all the world, preach the gospel to the whole world. How big are God's dreams? How does God want us to dream as a congregation? God, bring us the lost so that we can't fit them all in this room. We have to have two services. God, bring us the lost so that we can't fit them all in two services. We have to have three. God, bring us the lost so that we don't have room here. We have to find a place and build a new place. How big do you dream? How big do we dream? How many missionaries can we support? How many lost people can we reach with the money that we have that we waste every day? How big do we dream? Before I show a video and wrap up, do we want God to disturb us? What if there's something really good in our walk on this earth spiritually and we're missing it because we're too distracted with life? Do we want God to disturb us? I want to show a video of a basketball game, a Chicago Bulls game. And during the game, you've seen this if you've been to games. On the big screen, they will zoom in on couples, and it's the kiss cam. And they'll zoom in on different couples, and the couples kiss. and the camera moves around the crowd. And so this is one that happened recently at a Chicago Bulls game. Go ahead. How distracted do we get? I wonder what God is trying to do in our lives. What is He trying to do? What can God do with the resources we have in this room? We were in Canada. There's 20 of them in this church trying to reach Quebec. What can God do with what we have? And are we too busy on our cell phone, distracted with life? Can we pray the prayer, God, disturb us? Let's pray. Bow with me. God, we know we can trust You. There's no one that we can trust beside You fully. You and Your Son and Your Spirit. We trust You. We ask for Your blessings. We ask for Your help. We ask for Your forgiveness. But God, we also ask that when we need it, that You disturb us, interrupt us, humble us, stop us, give us what we need, not just what we want. We pray that, trusting Your wisdom. We pray that, knowing that whatever difficulties come our way, however You mold us and lead us, we know that You will be with us. And we thank You for that. We pray You forgive us for the times and ways that we are too consumed with ourselves to be focused on You. But help us to dream. Help us to long for You more. Help us to reach to greater heights for Your glory. We pray it all to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, if you're here and there's something heavy on your heart that you want us to pray for you about, or if you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ, never had your sins washed away, never put on Jesus Christ in baptism, we'd love to help you with that. If there's something you need, please come while we stand and sing.
Live for Jesus, oh my God.